Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio at Berlinale 2015. We are here with Ayo, actress of Murder in Paco. Why was it important to you to tell this story now, even after some time it happened?
I think it's just as important as it was right after it happened, you know? Because I think when something like this happens, it's something you cannot, like people who have, who were there, who lived through the tragedy and everything, who had to live with it, I mean, for them it's like as if it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think it's never really too late to talk about it, and certainly I feel like people have to talk about it much more, you know, because of certain aids that have never been arrived, like, I mean, they've never received anything. They've been promised a lot, but they haven't received anything. And then a lot of people, you know, I think it's a bit like, you know, maybe it's a crazy comparison, but the 9/11, like, everybody, the whole world, they were all in front of the TV watching what happened there. Like, it was really a terrible thing that happened. It was a disaster. It was horrible. We saw people jumping out of the windows and everything. Till today, people are talking about it, right? Everybody's talking. I mean, till today, you have the Memorial Day and everything. Like, because it was the worst crime ever in American history. Well, this earthquake was the worst earthquake
ever.
And nobody's talking about it anymore. And I mean, look at the amounts of people that have died there. Like, you can't even compare this to anything, to any tragedy. You cannot compare this to anything. But the reason why it's not exposed like it's supposed to be, it's because we're talking about the third world.
Exactly.
And here we go again. We classify, you know, and this is wrong. It's like, oh yeah, okay, a few lives died here, but hey, it's third world, so who cares? It's great. Bill Gates is probably happy because the numbers are going down, you know? You know, that's how I look at it. I'm very extreme with it because I think it's really, like, before we used to have the rich and the poor, and if, you do have a middle class, but the middle class is not even that. Middle class is kind of shrinking everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world. Everybody's affected. And now it's not only rich and poor anymore. It's of course, you have a religious thing as well. You know, it's rich and poor and Muslim, kind of, you know. But I think when it comes to Haiti, certainly when it comes to Haiti, everything that's going on there, not only, I mean, the earthquake is like the icing on the cake, you know, after because a lot has happened there already. If you think about all the children there that are really in need, that need a lot of help and support, because Haiti has the highest rate of children who die before the age of before they reach the age of two. That you have, like, I think every second child maybe makes it, really, like, or dies every second child dies.
I understand you.
But before it reaches the age of two, that's crazy. And a lot of people don't talk about this. And then on top of everything, you have an earthquake. And now think about the conditions they've been in before. They didn't have no hospitals, or they do have a hospital, but the hospitals they have not enough beds. They don't have the medication. They don't get help from anybody.
So how important was it to shoot there? How shooting there affected your work?
For me, it affected me in many, many ways. Not only because it was my first movie, and before I went to Haiti, I didn't even consider myself an actress. It was something I wanted to do. I always dreamed of doing this. And then when it happened, when I was supposed to leave, I was just I was touring at that time because I'm a musician usually. So I got off the road, and I knew in 2 days I would have to fly to Haiti, and it was surreal. To me, it was very weird. And when I arrived there, my first feeling, I never forget it, I felt like I was in Lagos. When I stepped into Port-au-Prince, I was like, I wanted to call my father and tell him, Dad, I'm in Nigeria. This is this year is like being in Lagos. I felt like I was in Lagos. I felt like they took a piece of Nigeria and pushed it into the ocean over to, you know.
Yeah.
And so to me, I kind of felt familiar. It felt familiar to me. But when I was surrounded by the people, by the Haitians, victims of the earthquakes, people who told me their stories and everything, that's when the whole thing became like real to me, and that's when I understood how important this was, and not just, you know, it almost made me feel ridiculous, really, mm-hmm. because I felt like on the set, as an example, when I had all these Haitians around me, like who were survivors of the earthquake, and I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah, of course.
Towards them, because I think it's acting. There's I don't know. It's an art, of course. It's supposed to be an art, I think. To me, acting is supposed to be an art. It's an expression. But sometimes it's not that at all. Sometimes it can almost be ridiculous and disrespectful, you know, if you're not careful, I think, you know. So I was a bit, in the beginning, I was a bit, I had a lot of pressure because I didn't want to be disrespectful and I didn't want to look ridiculous, and I felt like, oh my God, how am I gonna play this role? What is this woman like? Is she normal? What is this character like? Who am I to say,
to portray her in
a
way or the
exactly.
other?
So I kind of sat down and I was listening to all the stories I've heard, but I looked at the people and I saw the strength of all these people. Like, these people were really happy and I mean, there were some people who you could really, as soon as somebody would talk about the earthquake or when they saw how we were shooting the scenes, like when actually the building was like moving and all this, you know, you could see that they were traumatized, you know, and you could see that most of these people, they didn't even want to be around this building. Because they didn't trust even the building where we shot the movie. They didn't trust the building. People who were really there at the earthquake when we had to shoot the scene inside where they were dancing, they were asking a lot of questions like, are you sure that this building is okay? Because a lot of these buildings fell apart like a few days later. You know, some of the, like, there were huge walls, they were moved, and then they would just really like fall like the day after the earthquake or something. With the aftershocks and everything, you know, and being that you never know, because Haiti is a place where you can have an earthquake like every second, you know. I mean, you're not really safe there. But for me, it was. I have two children, so yeah. It was hard for me to imagine. I mean, I didn't want to think of my own kids really. I didn't want to do that, you know, but in a way I was forced to do that, you know. I was away, like, I thought of my son, because the boy in the ruins had the same age as my son, and when I spoke to him and he was so cute, you know, it really confused me a lot, to the point where, I mean, he was my adoptive son in the movie,
but still matter.
Yeah, and I felt it was just a painful experience, and so to me this person was not normal anymore, you know, mm-hmm. totally somewhere else actually, you know. And the whole relation that she had with her husband and all this, you know, I think when you see the movie for the first time, when you start watching it, you don't really understand what's going on. You think, what a moron this guy, like why is he so mean, what's going on with this couple, this is the strangest couple ever and all this, you know.
Yeah, because you just discovers little by little,
little by little, exactly, yeah. exactly, and then you understand why she is so bitter and why she is very kind of, you know, closed up, you know, and not free at all, not open at all, and you understand why he is the way he is, because of all the pain I think this couple had, both of them, they had the same amount of pain, but they had different ways to deal with it, you know?
How this huge emotion in the acting experience has influenced your music?
course. I wrote songs while I was out there. I mean, I do have to say, I escaped that night and went to the jazz club to jam with the musicians in Haiti. And when Raoul found out, he wasn't too happy about it, you know, but...
you but needed to decompress.
Yeah, so. I needed it. I definitely needed it. And it was so great. They have, like, amazing musicians in Haiti, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a... I mean, on the... Like, musically, I had a very, 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 very great time. And I wrote songs, like, whenever we got off the set, I would go into the apartment, I would go into my room, close the door and take my guitar and play music, or sit on the pool and play, or at the balcony. But I wrote a lot of songs, actually, yeah. And not only that I wrote a lot of songs, but this whole Haiti experience, it changed my way of thinking to the point where, like, it kind of pushed me into a certain kind of independence, you know, where I felt like I don't want to be part of a certain kind of system anymore. I felt like if you can have, what music means to me, maybe that has changed in terms of, it brought me back to the reason why I started playing music. Because sometimes you start something, you do something because you need it, you know, not because you want to be famous or you think you can go somewhere, see the world. No, you do it because this is your only way out. This is your way to forget.
There's nothing else you can do.
And it's your way to forget, your way to connect to something that you know is there. And there's only... that is only through spirituality you can get there. Music to me is a spiritual thing, for sure. Like, I'm 100% convinced. But it's as well a way to overcome the hardest situations. Like, it's like a tranquilizer, you know, for your soul. It eases your soul, your mind. You get it at ease. You can. It helps you to focus and to arrive. And even if you arrive only for 5 minutes or 2 minutes, the length of a song, but you have this one moment where you're actually really there. You're not somewhere with your thoughts in I don't know where, all your trouble, all the problems. No, you're just there. You are. You know, I think music can help you get to this point where you are there. You're just there. You're not in the pain of yesterday. You're there, and it's a relief. You feel that everything has been taken away from you, a burden. You become lighter. In 2 minutes, you can become like a new person.
And how is it going to affect your recording career?
It did affect it a lot, because I believe that everything we do in life always affects us in so many ways. Sometimes we don't even understand. In the very moment when it happens, we don't understand how much it affected us. But then, like, when you think, like, oh, you're going to go back to Europe, you're going to continue your everyday life and everything's going to be exactly the way it was, it's not going to be exactly the way it was. Because everything you do from that point on, you will look at it differently. Because to me, it's like the one thing that really changes. I feel like I live even more in the moment. Because what do I really know what's going to be tomorrow? What do I know? What did they know? And there, everybody who survived, they're there, and they still dance. They dance, and when they dance, they really dance, you know? When they dance as if tomorrow or in the next minute, maybe the building is going to break down and that was your last dance. And I felt like after this, when I go on stage or when I take my guitar and I sing, or even when I sing to my children, I sing as if it was my last song.
Okay.
And when you do that, everything changes. Everything. Because you're 100%. You're not just 20% anymore or 30%, because you think, oh yeah, today is a bad day, but tomorrow will be better. If tomorrow doesn't come, how can it be better tomorrow? So everything you do, I think you always have to do it. You always have to be committed, you know? You always have to give it your best. And maybe your best will not be good enough for somebody, but at least you know you gave your best, you know? You always give it your best. I think... to live to the fullest and not to regret things. Like, when I came back from Haiti after this, I started thinking that I want to change my life too. I want to spend more time with my children. I felt the need to really spend more time with them because I haven't seen them for 7 weeks. Sometimes it was hard to talk to them over the phone because the network was really difficult. And then I said to myself as well that I want to play music again, but music to play music, not to serve or to please. Mm-hmm. Just to play music, you know? Mm-hmm. Play it as if I played it like this is going to be my last time playing music. Enjoying it again, appreciating again the chance that I have been given, you know? That it's not it doesn't happen every day that you get signed and you can do what you love in life and that you can travel and see the world and that you come out of a difficult place. You make it out of a difficult place. That doesn't happen to everybody. And when it happens, it's very easy, you take it for granted. And when that happens, you lose your craft.
So you felt like that you lost your craft?
You know, I felt that, I mean, the one thing I knew is I was always honest to myself, honest to who I am, and I never tried to be something I wasn't, because music to me was my therapy, you know, so thank God it was, because I never never changed for me, but it became like sometimes it wasn't anymore like, you know, the feeling changed. And the feeling could only change because you take something for granted. When you start taking it for granted, the feeling changes. You don't go on stage anymore like you go on stage. I mean, I love playing concerts. I love playing live. I love sharing with the audience. And this is the moment, actually, that I love more than just writing a song, is playing it to somebody. Because I always feel that this is when magic happens, only when there's somebody who connects.
Yeah.
To your melody or your tone or your words or something, but they connect to it. And it's almost like the more people connect to that one source, all of a sudden this light becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and everybody, they can all feel it. And that's when it becomes healing. And it's so powerful that everybody can feel it. And you can't even explain it, but you know it has something. There's something about it. That to me never really changed. But I took it for granted. I did take it for granted at one point. I wasn't aware enough of the fact, and I say I took it for granted, despite of the fact, I mean, I was always, I'm a humble person, because I always felt like, if tomorrow I'm going to lose my voice, this life is going to be over, I'm not going to be able to do this no more. But I did take it for granted in terms of, I did not sing as if it was my last time. Like, now I think that, even though I always try to give 100% when I play shows, but now I feel like I could have given more even if I had this way of thinking, if I thought, do it as if it was the last time. And there was a man, you know, my pianist from my one of my early bands, and a very close friend of mine, a musician I always play with again, a very, very great musician who plays with so many different amazing artists. His father, I had the chance to meet his dad. He would come to Paris, and I invited him to sing with me at the Olympia in Paris. And he, after that, he died. He had cancer. So this was his last trip to Paris, and it was his dream to be on stage and sing. So I sang with him, and he was with his son. And it was really a beautiful moment. And he said to me that he was actually the one who really gave me a new meaning, you know, when I played music, because, you know, he was really sick, and people really, his wife already died, the mother of my pianist died already on cancer, and he has been sick for 6 years. They only gave him like a few months to live, but he made it 6 years. And when he was at the hospital, before he came to Paris, he was already at the hospital really ill. And he said he listened to my music, and he said he heard the song Life is Real, and he got up and he decided that he wanted to live again. Because when he was at the hospital, he wanted to die. He wanted to be where his wife was, because that was right after his wife passed away. And so he heard the song, and he said it gave him new life. And so he sat there in Paris at my rehearsals with his son, and he sat there, and he was dancing to my music. And then he said to me, you have the ability to heal people. music is not just it's not just partying and having fun times and all this. It's more than that. He said when you go out there, this is what you have to think about. Think of the people that you can help, like you helped yourself. And he said to me, when you go out there, sing as if it was your last time. He already said this to me back then. And that right after I heard this, I did it several times, I believe. But then I went back into my routine. And then you have problems, and sometimes you don't feel good. And you go through difficulties in your relationship, or something is wrong, or you don't talk to your father. And you have all these personal problems that you deal with yourself. And then you take these problems... in a way, I try to not take these problems on stage, but I would in a way, because it would affect me. It would always affect me. I was not good enough to separate this, my personal life from, you know, but I feel like if I, like Haiti did that one thing to me, that gave me the last push. Mm-hmm. That gave me the thing where now when I go on stage, I can have a very bad day. I can even feel sick or I don't know what. But when I go on stage now, I feel like, yeah, I'm alive, you know, even though I have a bunch of problems, but I'm alive and I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do it as if it was my last time.
I mean, isn't it too demanding to have such an attitude towards work for you? I mean, pushing and pushing, giving it the best every single time, doesn't it drain out some energy, more energy than before?
You know what it actually does? It doesn't really drain, because it gives me a lot. It gives me actually a lot more.
It recharges you.
Yeah, it recharges me. But really, really recharges me. And I feel good when you know, it's like you meet people. Like people come to your show, and imagine you sing to the audience, and they get to know you because you perform for them. They think they know you. They don't really get to know you though, because they cannot get to know you if you don't. If you don't open up to them, if you don't get to know them, and the only way to know them is really, 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 really sharing, like sharing 100%, you know, connect, you have to really connect with them. I feel like when I play to the audience, I feel like I get to know them, because with every song, when you look at them, you feel and you see it and you can feel it, you know.
I have one last question about the movie. Why did you choose that specific film as your first film? Because it was not an easy one to do.
Oh, no.
No, but it was not.
It was not.
And it affected you probably much more than you ever thought. Probably.
Yes.
But why did you choose, besides wanting to work with Raoul Peck, but which was the main
I reason? Like the fact that it was difficult.
Mm-hmm. So the challenge was...
I loved the challenge and I felt like... I loved the fact that it was emotional. The truth in it. I liked the truth in it. Even though it was fiction, I liked the truth in this whole thing. The fact that this really happened and the fact that this is something that everybody should know about it. Mm-hmm. When you take the part of when you take the dead body out of it, but then even with the dead body, the political message that it had to me, in a way there's this message, you know, this, the poor is always the loser at the end of the day, you know, in this world we're living in. And all that to me was like, I felt like in my music I don't like talking about things that are not real or that are to me not important, you know. I don't like to be superficial or artificial in sounds and all this. And to me that movie is just like that. It's organic. It's very organic. That's what I liked about it. And I guess that's why I wanted to do this, you know.
I have one very, very last question about the very last shot of the film. The house is going to be torn down. And you together with the other two characters are watching the scene, but you have a completely different face and attitude, like you were happier or more or relieved.
Relieved.
Love, like, is it right? This is what Raoul wanted to.
This is what Raoul wanted, exactly. Like, okay, we got rid of the problem. And like, oh, this never really happened anyway. And
we can face our future again.
Yeah, we can face our future. Now everything is fine. We're ready to go and look forward, you know.
Okay, so
like really horrible.
So I got it right.
Yeah, you definitely got it right. That was actually the moment where you see like, okay, you see the classification, like, okay, these people are, they stick together.
They are one class, and they can, they will always survive. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
It is Ayo, actress of the film Murder in Pakov, on Fred Film Radio from Berlinale 2015.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.